Welcome to Solder Smoke, where we talk about all things electronic and geeky. We meet on Echolink and swap ideas related to workbench radio projects. If you have any questions about this podcast or suggestions for future casts, send a note to soldersmoke@yahoo.com. Our webpage is www.geocities.com/soldersmoke. As always, have fun, melt solder, and pass along your ideas.
KL7R, KL7R, in Juneau. This is M0HBR in London. Are you there, Mike?
Yeah, Roger, Bill, M0HBR, KL7R. Good to hear you this evening. I was kind of expecting you to show up. I got a little bit of news. What's going on in your end of the woods there?
Well, Mike, I'm happy to report that I'm speaking to you through an Estatic D104 Chrome Lollipop microphone. No more of this little computer microphone for me. This feels like real radio right now. What I'm going to do while we're speaking, I'm turning on my Drake 2B receiver, and I'm going to let it generate some real radio noise, so you're likely to hear some CW and SSB chatter in the background, and this will give our listeners an added sense of realism. So what's the news up there in Alaska? I get the sense that there's been some breakthroughs on the KL7R bench. KL7R, M0HBR.
All right. Yeah, I can definitely tell the bandwidth is a lot higher frequency than your headset mic that you were using before. And I can hear the PTT clicking on the D104. That's great. Well, shoot, I'm talking through a handy talkie here or through a an FT817 through my Link radio, and you're talking with a D104, and got audio going in the background. Pretty soon, Echolink's going to sound like real radio here. Well, I got some news. I now have a transceiver, Bill. Over.
Every QSO is a major breakthrough. First, we went from CWSB, then the great leap forward into single sideband, and now a transceiver. Wow! Tell us about this, Mike. Our public is waiting to hear about this.
That's so totally cool here, and you need to tune the pitch down on that CW in the background. I like to have my CW note about 700 hertz. Some guys like it 600 or 500, but you've got it up around 2 kilocycles there. You need to tune your knob a little bit there, Bill. Well, I built this circuit in experimental methods. And in Chapter 1, .3 or something like that, it's basically a two-chip receiver that uses the NE602 and an LM386. That's the entire receiver. The transmit chain already had a local oscillator, so you just put the local oscillator right into the mixer chip, into the SA612 or NE602, whatever you call it, and that's it. So that's the only hassle you have to do there is TR switching, and once again I stole from the PSK 80 meter warbler. He used the 2N7000 to short the LM386 audio to ground on transmit, and a couple of them back to back diodes and at the input of the receiver, and that was it. I think I'm almost done here. I think I'm gonna call this one done. I've got a little bit too much bias, I think, on my driver Class A amp. I'll have to figure out how to drop the bias there. It runs a little bit hot, but hasn't burned up yet, so it must not be too hot. So M0HBR, back to you there, Bill. I'm actually kind of glad that this thing's nearing completion. I've been obsessing here a little bit.
Yeah, but it's worth it. Wow, that's fantastic, Mike. That's great. Yeah, it's a simple way to do the receiver. But wow, simple or not, it's great to have the receiver going there. And have you? Let me turn down the CW here. Some sort of contest going on. It's 40 meters. The Germans and Swiss stations. Wow. So yeah, I like the diode switching on the antenna. And I guess you just the TR switching. Are you just are you leaving it full QSK, or I guess you have a switch to go over and power up the receiver and power up the transmitter? I cheat. I do it. I just turn everything off on the receiver and then turn it all on again. And I have a little relay to switch the antenna back and forth. That's the way I usually do it. But have you made any QSOs in full transceiver mode, Mike?
Yeah, I just finished building it in the middle of our net here. That is finished 12 minutes ago. Oh, by the way, this is what Solder Smoke 25, and it's 10 in the evening my time, and it must be about 6 in the morning your time. But yeah, I just checked into the net. I finished the last bit of soldering. I had my input shorted, my receive input shorted to ground through a cap. I had the cap on the wrong side of my input, so I was getting pretty low receive levels, and I poked around there, and I realized that I was shunting all of my RF right straight to ground. Anyway, fixed that and checked into the net, and was able to just key the mic and not flip antenna switches, and that was really nice. And it's full QSK. Right from the low pass filter that's on the antenna, that goes right straight into the receiver through a set of back to back diodes. And there's also a 2N7000 MOSFET switch that shorts the receiver to ground on PTT. So it's full QSK there, but makes a little pop sometimes, but most of the time it doesn't there.
Oh man, that is very cool. That is neat. Congratulations. And actual QSOs with it. That is good. Now, I'm just thinking here that you need a name for this rig, because it does sound like it has lots of features that will make other radio amateurs want to build one. So you got potential here for for QST articles, or at least something on the web, and you could spark a wave of home brewing here. And it's got a lot of good features. I like the approach of just having the crystal filter right there on the operating frequency. And because it's rock bound, I'm going to suggest a name here, Mike. I keep talking about that glacier that you live close to. So why don't you call this thing the Mendenhall?
Oh, I got two names already kind of scoped out here. This thing is for the Motley Group. That's the name of the group, the Alaska net-ish thing that meets on 3933, and that's called the Motley Group. So I think of either the Motley Special, or one of the traditions of the Motley Group is, and also the Iditarod dog sled race, is the last person to make it to Nome gets the Red Lantern, and the last person to check into the Motley Group in the evening gets the Red Lantern. So it's either going to be the Motley Special or the Red Lantern, Bill. Over.
Oh man, that's some good Alaska lore there. Yeah, you've got to have something Alaskan in the name. Well, that's great. It's a really cool feeling when you when you make that QSO with a completely homebrew rig. And I know that. I mean, I started out building transmitters, and then I said to myself, I need to have a station that I could say is completely homebrew. So then I built the receiver, and I still had this little commercial power supply providing DC for it. So I said, well, you got to do the whole thing. So actually, at that point, I could run it off a 12 volt battery, and I don't feel the need to homebrew my own batteries. So at that point, it was completely homebrew, But then I went and built out and built a little AC power supply, and that's when I was running the Doug DeMoor Barbados receiver and a the VXO 6 water from QRP Classics. And I'm not really much of a CW fan, but I used to get on CW and work a whole lot of stations just to have the opportunity to send, you know, rig here as homebrew, old man. KL7RM 0HBR.
Yeah, I haven't had that complete pleasure yet. I've built little transmitters and kits, but this is my first complete transceiver. I tried to make the binaural receiver that I made into a transmitter, but I got stuck, in the transmit chain again. I bet I could use the same transmit chain and make it a but then the trouble with the binaural receiver, the way I was doing it, is that I'd need to have a frequency shift for transmit to get the 700 hertz audio shift. Anyway, this is my first transceiver that I built from scratch, so I'm kind of happy. I've modded things and I've built kits, but this is the first one. So the question I had for you is, I had to do a whole lot of work to get enough drive to drive these IRF 510s, and I know I must have done something wrong to require 1, 2, 3, 4 stages of drive to get up enough drive to drive these IRF 510s. In the TSK Warbler, he has a little 2-transistor driver and some CB transistors. I don't know if that's just a characteristic of what he had there, but I couldn't get enough drive out of just those 2 transistors. So my question to you is, should I post an as-built, or should I keep worrying away at this till I get it perfect there, Bill?
You know what I'd do, Mike? I would post it as built, but then let our homebrewing colleagues out there kind of answer your question about why it took 2 additional amplification stages to get enough drive. I'm sure it's always interesting to do this because you'll get guys come back and just say, well, okay, you know, you change the emitter resistor on this stage, or change the impedance matching between these 2 stages. It's probably something like that, that either one or a couple of the stages are probably not perfectly or optimally biased or matched or loaded. Probably loaded. Then you could get, you know, suggestions from the field. It's sort of like these folks who know who post novels on the net and allow readers to suggest modifications to the plot or to the writing or something like that. You could make it sort of a collaborative effort. That'd be fun. And I end up doing this anyway. I do it because I get stuck, and then I go out to the QRPL list and ask somebody to help me, and Nick Kennedy or somebody else who really knows this stuff comes back and helps. So I would do it that way. I mean, I think you're real close. I think it's fine to leave it the way it is, but it would be kind of fun to let the engineering purists take a look at it and suggest how to do it. You know, I was just reading the my 2002 edition of a handbook, and they there's a couple of really good pages in there on designing RF amps, and one of the points the guy makes is that very often, you know, theoretically you could do the required amplification with just 1 or 2 transistors, but it's better to do it, to do the same amount of amplification with 3 or 4 with lower gain at each stage, because it's just easier to get the whole thing stable that way. So you may have just done this instinctively, Mike, KL7R and 0HBR.
Yeah, that was, I think that was an experimental method. So it might have been in that QRP notebook. But they basically said, you know, use extreme amounts of feedback, degenerative feedback, and limit your gain to each stage, so you maintain control and they said also control the input and output impedances. You may not get maximal gain, but you'll have less trouble with oscillation, which I had a whole lot of trouble with that. So I'm happy it's working.
Hey Bill, I've got a few seconds of audio from the receiver here, from the little two-chip receiver, so I'll play that for you, and then maybe I'll say 73 after this. M0HBR, here comes some audio, KL7R.
KL7JDR.
KL7JDR, hello Bruce.
Hello, Larry. Looks like you had a pretty good discussion going here this evening. Enjoy them. The only thing I can think of to add on that antenna project is if he was around 17 feet, I'm just wondering if he needs to double up those elements. Then he'd be right pretty close there. Maybe he just got one half of the element on each side. I don't know. Anyway, I was thinking earlier maybe he might have a TH-7 or something like that, you know, on those tri-benders, but if the elements are all the same length, it rules that out. Anyway, good to hear everybody on this evening. We have nothing else to add there. KL7JDR.
Okay, Bill, well, you know, I think we both had pretty good successes this week. I think probably ought to wind her down and maybe catch you again next week. I think this was a little bit shorter. We've been kind of been getting a little bit long-winded there, I think. So, anyway, catch you next week, and congratulations on your D104, and I'll spend some time and put the schematic up. It's going to take me a little while to enter it there. So, anyway, catch you and the other cider smokers here next week. F0 HBR, KL7R 73.